You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And in our study of the person of God, Paul's desire was that I might know him. And thus, Job would say, it is wonderful to be acquainted with God, to have a unique relationship to God. And thus in the process, we have looked at the names of God, which reveal the person of God. Name, remember, isn't for the person, it is for other people to recognize the person. And so as we have gone through different names of God progressively, historically, as God made himself known, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, and then progressively, as needed, God revealed himself in different ways so that people would have an understanding that God is quite able, adequate, reliable, trustworthy for whatever the occasion. And so to sort of put that together a little bit, where we have been and where we are a little bit, over in Isaiah chapter 26 again, and picking up, if I can, directly in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Remember, perfect is the same word as peace. So if you're reading it, you'd say peace, perfect peace, full, complete, perfect peace, shalom, peace, wholeness, completeness, complete soundness, healthiness. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. God will guard, preserve, in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process is stayed, resting like you do in the pew, resting, stayed, supported by, whose mind is supported, how so? On thee, we're resting not on the pew, not on the chair, we're resting on God, and thus relying upon God. And it will work because that your mind resting on God will work. Because what you're doing is, when your mind is totally resting, stayed upon your God, you're actually fulfilling and outworking the word trust, to believe, resting. Now, because he resteth in thee, then we shared in verse 4 last time, I think, Trust, it's a command again. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And we share together the word Lord. And the second Lord in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord, that is the word Yahweh or Jehovah in the proper noun. And trust in the Lord, Yahweh or Jehovah, forever. For in the Lord, and now you have that word Jehovah or Yahweh contracted to a Y-A-H or a J-A-H, it's down, small, goes from this, shrinks to a contracted, the noun is brought down to its smallest dimension. And thus, for in Jah or in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. And we share together that God's unique person is brought forth and made available to us by his unique name. A unique name. It's beyond all Abel. There's no words. It's out of reach to be able to put your handle and to grasp the name of God. The name of God has to do with the nature, the essence of God. And so, in verse 4, God, his unique, wonderful name. And you know, if we looked at Exodus 3, you would say, I am, may want to go there, why not? I have another thought, a half maybe, on that. Exodus chapter 3. And you would recall that God identifies himself because Moses needs to know who sent him. And to know I am, chapter 6, Romans 3 and verse 6. Exodus 3 and verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so, God, here you are. Well, God, how shall I identify you when I go to represent you before Pharaoh and the Hebrews? And you know, in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. There's your word, Jehovah. In essence, that's putting it all together somewhat. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So God is the I am. I am the beginning. I am that I am. I am the one who exercises life, existence. My life, the exercise of my life, and my existence is so, you need to understand who I am, and therefore just I exist, I am, and my existence produces everything. Out from my existence comes everything. I am. That's it. What else? Nothing. Just I am. And out of me, out of my existence, comes everything. So, in the light of that, God is who he is, being who he is, and he becomes whoever he needs to be. And he's everything. So, in order for God to demonstrate his wonderful name, he has all kinds of occasions, situations, whereby he identifies himself. And thus, he is the God who is and becomes whatever is needful. He becomes it. Because he is. I'm the sum of everything. I'm the sum total of all that there is, God. So, we want to be able, in our little exercise, more and more, to intelligently address God, to say, my God and my Savior. And I want that G-O-D, which is a huge word, and that our vocabulary and human history is unable to explain, to grasp the little three letters, G-O-D. And so, God, I want to be able to be more intelligent about you. How you work, where you are, what you do, what you don't do, when you do things, when you don't do things, why you don't do them. So, God, we want to have that. So, God, you are the sum of all dynamic existence. That's right. I am the source and creator of everything. You know, in John, the Gospel of John 1:1-3, everything I made, everything that is, everything that exists, I made it. There's nothing anywhere that I didn't create. Nothing. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, I am the sum total of all eternity. Since I am, and there is no time to God, I am the sum total of all eternity. And if you want to know how I show that, how do I show my eternity, my endless, infinite person? How do I show that? By finite existence in time. I take time, which has a beginning and an end. And how am I going to understand your infiniteness? God said, I'm going to show you it by time. in time, by time. Now, having said that, how are you going to show us? You're going to show us that? I'd say, well, that's sort of big. Well, God said, let me do it again for you. I'm going to show you my eternity in time by time, because in time, I'm going to create humans. That's us, Adam and Eve and all the rest of us. And out of the humans, I'm going to bring forth my son, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is going to represent and bring all eternity and all of time into one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will help you understand the endless infiniteness of my being. He will help you to understand who I am. And if I don't do this for you, you have no way to handle me. Now, having said that, and having said that this word Yah or Jah, I am the dynamic, I am the living and only God, I am the ultimate person, above and beyond all others, all else, I am able to be all that is needed at any time, anywhere. I can become all that is needed anytime, anywhere. I am God, and I am all that you need to know. I am the one you need to know. Now, you know, if you were to look at yourself, another way to say that, is that when you look at your life, your personal lives and eyes, mine or anybody's, and you look at your life, and how would you sum up, how do you sum up your life? Remember we said, persons, God created us in his image and likeness, and we reflect God, represent God. I am, I ought, morally responsible, volition, I will. I am, I ought, I will. I will. So we're persons. We aren't ducks or canaries or pigeons. We're persons, distinctly persons, that's right. Now, having said that, now if you were going to sum up and you were going to say, I am, and you wanted to package that in your person, how do you do that? Now, there's different ways to do it, but I'll tell you the only complete way you can do it is if we went and you had a day that you were born, most of you, and you have a day you die, and depending on whether you have a little grave marker or something, it will say born such and such and died such and such. And from the day you were born to the day you die, that's your I am. That's the totality of your person on earth. True? That's it. Right now you're in the process of I am. But you're going to be I am in all of its fullness. That's your am. That's who we are. God is I am. As to his beginning, there is none. As to his end, there is none. As to his life, he is eternal. So when he says I am, this is the totality of my being. When we say I am, it's from the day I born to the day I die. And that would be the summation, the way to say this person was or is, was so-and-so. Now, having said that the God is the I am, is the sum total of one's being. I am in its totality. And God in your eternity, in your movement of time, in time, on time. And I would remind you one other thing that you need to keep in mind, if you would. You have to remember you're reading the penmen for the Word of God are Hebrews, Semitic, Hebrew, Semitic language. And in this, we have a Western English, sorry. And you have to understand, every language has its own model, its own sphere that the language lives in, whatever it is. And that's where the language is expressed. And depending on where it is, languages can be connected, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian. They all can have their connections, but they have the sphere. So in Hebrew, in your Bible, how God, what, because they're after Moses, Hebrews are all writing, and they're writing from where they're coming from as a Hebrew. So what do I need to know when I read the Bible? I need to know that God in the Semite movement, things are identical, things go together. And we shared it before, the brick on the wall, you would say the brick wall, or the wall of brick. Because they go together. You can't speak of brick without saying it's a wall. And you can't speak of the wall without saying it's a brick. You can't do that. Now, I have different things. This is the best one I have at the moment. This is, well, I'll do this one first. This is an eagle feather, I think. Eagle feather. I didn't take it from an eagle. An eagle flew over one day and dropped it down and said, here's one of my feathers. I'm just kidding. Now, it's an eagle feather. So, using Semite thinking, the feather, when you say this feather, you think eagle. When you think eagle, you think this feather. Do you understand? They go together. In saying it another way, here is a person, and the person inside, this person. So when you say this person, you automatically include what? This person. When you say this person, you cannot conceive of this person apart from being in this person. They go together. They belong together. Semite. Wood wall. Wood wall. The wall is made of wood. The wood is a wall. Thus you have our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, as here God again. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, character, conduct, being, all that he is expressed by his human body, now resurrected from the grave, and he is expressed. So when you speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak of his words and his works, his character and his conduct. It's impossible to speak of the character and conduct of God apart from God. You can't do it. You can't do it. And God's character and conduct. Over with me, please, to Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, God is the content. So here in Psalm 25, may I go directly to verse 4, Psalm of David. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And the word ways has to do with distance, a going on a road, a journey, a way. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Now I'm going to, the way. So if you show me your ways, God, what can I expect? Because you never can have part of God without all of God. And any part of God, you have all of God. You can't have love without righteousness. You can't have holiness without justice. You can't have, it's God's person, God's wonderful person. He's the whole person. I am. And I become whatever I need to be. Because I am. I am who I am. I'm the totality of everything. So when I want to express myself, I can do it. And all I'm going to do is show who I am at any given time. And thus, over to verse Oh, down to verse 10, 25 and 10. All the paths, there's your same word. Excuse me, I'm going to go up all thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths, similar to ways, a direction, walking, manner of life. O Lord, teach me thy paths, show me thy ways. I'm going to take the last part of that at this point. Teach me thy paths. And I'm going to slide down to verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So when you think of mercy and truth, you're thinking of that is God's manner, conduct, ways, paths. That's how he is. How do I expect God? If I'm going to talk about God, I'm going to talk about his mercy. If I talk about mercy, I'm talking about God. If I talk about truth, I'm talking about the God of truth by telling the truth about God. And I'm looking to that. God, I'm going to allow your person to be expressed so that when I don't separate, we don't, and when you as a person, by the way, you as a person have a hand too. And your hand is under the command, dominion, most of the time, of you. So your hand, when you speak of your hand, you always must connect your hand to you. True? It's your hand. And when they say your hand, they think of you. They don't think of somebody else. They think of you. It's your hand. And thus, God, we're going to look to you. When we look to you, look to the Lord Jesus, you're going to reveal God. And that's what he said. If you've seen me, you've seen what? If you remember John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know the Father, then you have to know me. You can't. It's impossible. So you don't want to separate. Humans separate. We promise things, but we aren't. We push them out here, and we say things, and we do things, and out they go, and we try to distance ourselves when needed from them. And we do that. But actually, it's whatever we do or don't do with our words and our works, our behavior, all it is representing who we are. So you know who we are by our behavior. Our behavior always tells who we are. People have certain behaviors, and that's how you know them. You know them by the behavior, and you speak of them by the behavior. So now, having said that, thy ways and thy paths, and thy ways, God, your ways, that's right. How you handle things, how you think. All right, now just to tie that together a little bit without losing too much, over to Isaiah chapter 55. And let me do it another way. I'll show you a way to do it. Isaiah 53. Remember, there's self. We show ourself by our body, our hands, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, speak. And we show our person. Our person is identified with our mouth, with our thoughts, with our hands and body. And they are not separate. They belong together. And in a world that separates everything, the Hebrew mind did not do that. God doesn't do that. So that's why God is reflected in the Hebrew mind, because God doesn't do that. God is inside exactly who he is outside, as it were. So now, in Isaiah 53, picking up, please, Isaiah 53 and in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. There's your word, Psalm 25, verse 4. Thy way. Verse 6. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ pays the price for all of our sin. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Now, that's our way. And our way shows up our way is going to show the person up. They belong together. So now, keeping that in mind, but then there's God's way and our way. Over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And you would note, may I go, please, to verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, because it's our way. It's how we live, how we act, how we think, how we speak. And you know, when you hear that person or see that person, whatever, you know the person. You know them by the way they are, by their body, hands, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, by their person, behavior. You know them. I know that person. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. So we're very good at showing ourselves. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, keeping in mind, for the reason, there's a difference between our way and our thoughts. And so the psalmist, the believer heart, the believer wants to know and understand God's way. We already know our way, so God, I want to understand you. How am I going to understand you? By who you are. And thus you explain yourself in 1,000,000,000 ways: mercy, grace, truth, love, hate, justice, righteousness, holiness, and you explain yourself. And every time you're helping me understand that the holiness belongs to you, the justice belongs to you, everything is all connected. It's your person. I am, you say. Now, so, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, there's your word, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. A whole different world, whole different world. I express myself and show myself. You show yourself. And I'm trying to help you understand that yourself, when it shows, you'll condemn yourself. You're already guilty. Everything you do just tells you that you're missing God. Why? Because God's thoughts, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So they're two different realms. And so, God, how are we going to do this? God, if we're trying to get along and make it through life here and come out, make down the corridor of time and come out all right, God, how are we going to do it? Since your ways are your ways, and we're always in the showing ourselves, our old nature, etc., etc. So now having said that, therefore, keeping in mind, God must be God. He always must be God. God can be none other than who he is. And all of God's wonderful person, all that he is, being, and all that he can become, are inseparable. Inseparable. They belong together, like the eagle's feather. They all belong together. So that, now having said that, so looking at God, here we are, you're going to express the totality of who you are in creation, the purpose of creation, of all of the universe, of your existence and mine, is to bring together and put together pieces that would spell out by their totality, in their totality, the wholeness of God. God's wonderful, wonderful, awesome, unique person. And all of it has to come together. All of it fits together, wonderfully so. And so everything you do, God, you do it. You said your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. And therefore, we're looking to you, God, to express the whole. So when God deals with your heart and mind, he isn't for you and I to, going to have an expression, for your sake. For your sake, I'll do it. For your sake, I'll do it. For your sake, I'll do it. Oh, it's much more than that. It isn't about us. So God, if we're going to get along with you and your ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens, and you're able to be whoever you, all that you are, which is infinitely beyond our little mind, if we put all our minds together, all 7 billion of us on planet Earth plus, we couldn't even touch the surface, couldn't even scratch the surface, God. Wow. So now having said that, so God, you're going to reveal yourself in a most wonderful way, and when you do, you're going to do it so as to show yourself. Now there's a word we're going to look at, if I can, picking up in, wherever you want to go here, Isaiah 43, and in verse 5. Well, before I do that, thank you for reminding me. Hosea. You got to get a little background to the word. Hosea, if you would, first of the minor prophets. They aren't minor, just shorter. And if I may, picking up, please, in Hosea and in chapter 2, Hosea chapter 2, and picking up, if I can, in verse 21. And it shall come to pass, in that day, in the day of the kingdom, when the Lord is reigning, day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Now, you need a little help with the word hear, the verb. And the verb has to do with to act upon something, to act upon a person or thing, to put effort in to make something happen. It's an action word, to make it happen, make something happen. And to act or to speak and make something happen. And that's the word. So, when you're looking at it, in verse 21, it's an action word. little verb is to produce effect. And then I'm going to read it, and then we'll put a little word in front of it. Because this is the background for the word, so hang on to it. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, I will act in effect, here, to answer, to speak. I will act in effect, verse 21, saith the Lord, I will hear. I'm going to act. I'm going to go into action. Verse 21. I will hear. There's your verb again. I will hear. I will go into act. I will cause the heavens to produce. I'll cause the heavens to produce. And they shall hear and cause the earth to produce. See, rain, snow, all the elements coming down. And I'm going to make the heavens produce. And the heavens are going to produce on the earth. Not finished. God said, that's why the millennium is so marvelous, among other things. And in verse 22, the earth shall hear, I will cause it to produce the corn and the wine and the oil. And they shall hear, cause to produce Jezreel. I will have it all come out right. For Israel, I'm going to make it all happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to make it happen. Make it work. Now I'm going to put a little word in front of it, a preposition. A little preposition in front of that word to make it work. Now what happens? In Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And you will notice verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. How so? For mine own sake. Four words, and they're just made up of to produce an action and a little preposition in front of it. And it's always, the verb has always got this preposition in the Hebrew in front of it. Always. So now, I'll read it then. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. God, why would you blot them out? Why would you remove them? For my own name's sake, I will cause to be produced, I'll make it happen, because of who I am, because, concerning, on account of, the purpose, I am God. I am God. What, are you going to do it for us? Are you going to forgive our sins the kind of we're sinners and we're in need? Sure we are. But God, you aren't doing it just for little old us. Not at all. Not at all. You're part of the magnificent program of God's redemptive plan. You're part of it. Why am I going to do it? God, why do we want? Because you're going to do it for your great name's sake. Like you do everything, as we've shared hundreds of times. Now, because of, for the sake of, to the end that. Go with me, please, over to Psalm 106. There's different ways just to get it, so you work it. See it in action. People can say, I know it for his great name's sake. I want to get a feeling for that. I want to be able to, I want to know what God's doing with me. I want to know why he does it. I want to know how to get God's attention. I always have it, so do you. To get God's attention and have an answer. I don't want to be up in the dark on stuff. I need answers, and I can't walk around with, I don't know. God knows. So I always know that God knows. So do you. Now, Psalm 106, if I may, picking up, please, in Psalm 106, verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They hadn't even crossed. They got the Egyptians on one side, the Red Sea on the other, and they're all yelling, mumbling, and groaning. And they're discontent. God, what are you going to do with a people that are so murmuring and mumbling? Verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them. Had Moses raised his staff, the Red Sea opened, and they crossed. Why did he do it? For his name's sake. So you're not going to sit there and say, well, they're in trouble and they need help. No, God's going to do it because his name's on the line. And God does not allow his name and his fame to be polluted. He does not. That's why believers can have, you can have truth. And that's why you won't hear truth too much. Why? It has to be honored. Remember, we just did it on Sunday, commitment. And the Lord, after healing, he said, don't speak of that. Don't tell anybody. You aren't in the place to tell them. You're going to confuse them. Don't tell anybody. Just say thank you and go away and be healed. You see, now I'm ready. God, you're a marvelous God. But in the process, are you going to give God credit? Is anyone? No, not just like give me food, miracles, signs, wonders, fill my belly, and God, that'll be it. And God said, you don't know me. You don't know me at all. I don't know you. And thus here in verse 8, nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And why did you do it? God said, I'm an all-omnipotent God. And how are you going to know I'm omnipotent? I am being omnipotent. I'm going to show my omnipotence. I'm going to become omnipotent and open the Red Sea. And remember that 4.5 miles across the Red Sea. That had to be something. And all the people knew it. Saved and unsaved, Egyptians, Syrians, the Jebusites and all of them. How could you miss, how could you not know that event? Wow. Now, so, I'll read verse 9 for the sake of it. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths in as through the wilderness. And he brought them in the, here's the water. Who knows how high the walls of the water were on the Red Sea? I have no idea. In the Jordan River, he opened 25 miles of the Jordan River for them to cross over. 25 miles. Here's Jericho. 25 miles to cross over. How high the water was. And when it went up, you remember, it didn't drip. You'd think it would drip. Wouldn't you think it'd drip? Just stood there, just like this. Just like that. Wow. That's God. God said, I'm omnipotent. I am who I am. I am being who I am. Who are you? I'm the omnipotent God. Now, over if you would, that's the wilderness. So we're going to go from the wilderness over to, if you would, over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19. Now, God, you do what you do for your great namesake on account of who you are, account of your name, all that it includes. I am that I am. I am God, Yahweh. I am Jehovah. I am the Lord, Lord of hosts. Wow. So here, Hezekiah, remember, Assyrians coming down. Assyrians are going to come. They got the northern 10 tribes. They're going to come down and get, Judah, Jerusalem. How are we going to handle that Assyrian army? Verse 34, 19 and 34. For I will defend this city to save it. Why will you save Jerusalem? For mine own sake. And by the way, I made a promise to David that I'd keep Jerusalem. And for my servant David's sake, on account of me, account of who I am. And I made a wonderful promise and commitment to David. And I'm going to keep it. You're going to keep it, God. Uh-huh, I am. Or if you would, Psalm 79. Oh, hold it. Well, you're right here. Why not? Chapter 20. Hezekiah is sick and dying. Now, Hezekiah is the king. He's sick and dying and doing good. And the Assyrians are coming down. God's going to defend the city. All right. So, Hezekiah, how about yourself? We took care of the city. Who's going to take care of the city? God, you're going to take care of the city. Who's going to protect us? You know, like Psalm 126 is that, you know, if the Lord doesn't watch the city, it won't make any difference what you do. You could have great big turrets and jet planes and everything. If God doesn't watch the city, you are in trouble. Now, so here's 2 Kings chapter 20. And picking up, please, in verse 6 for Hezekiah. And I will add unto thy days, remember, he's going to die, 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of a king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Why? For mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Hezekiah, you're going to get 15 more years of life simply because it's for God's honor, and in God's name, he's going to honor himself. And that's what you want. You want God to be honored in your life, in your situation, where you are. That's all you want. However he wants to do it, that's what you want. And that's where the enabling comes from. God will become to us all that we need. But if we don't have an understanding of what we're looking for, what we expect God to do, then we already govern God to, God, you must be this to me. And God said, I'm going to be your, that's your thought. Remember your thoughts, your ways? And God said, your ways are not my ways. So you've narrowed me down. Psalmist would say at Psalm 78, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what Israel did. They cut him short. They said, this is what you have to do, God. This is how you have to do it. This is how you have to be. And if you do this, we'll say, amen. God said, I'm not doing it that way. And your ways are not my ways. So learn that. Learn that right off. You're looking for God's, and God will marvel you, give you a wonderful exercise. So here's Psalm 79. Psalm 79. Picking up, if I may, again in verse 8. Remember, now this is in the destruction. We had Jerusalem going to save the city, and then the city's going to go. Well, what's the next word we're going to hear? City's going to go. Well, then, what do you get to say, God? Aha. Psalm 79, verse 8. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, verse 9, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us. That's what he's going to do. And purge away our sins for thy name's sake. God, you're going to have to work this out. And by the way, we want to maintain a healthy relationship to you. And we've got to make sure our sins are covered with your saving, by your saving grace. God, the end of verse 9, purge away our sins for thy name's sake. God, purge them away. Make them go away, God. Over, if you would. Psalm 109. Psalm 109. And you'll notice, again, David, may I stop, please, in verse 21. But, 109, 21. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord. Why do I expect God to do anything? For thy name's sake. Produce the action that is in accord, in the purpose, and because of, on account of, to the end that you are God. Honor yourself for your name's sake. I don't care how you do it. Do it any way you want, God. This is my choice. We're just here. Created beings able to be saved by your grace. So therefore, verse 21, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Remember, they're all connected. God, you get his mercy. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hath done it. I don't want anything about me, God. I just want when the whole scenario is done, that they had to consider you when they're all done. When they're all done with my Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, work, home, school, play, easy, hard, my little heartache, headache. When you're all done, God, I want people to know that you are marvelously becoming to me all that you are. And you will be to me all that you are, as needed, God, as needed. And when I look to my Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, resurrected, the Lord Jesus Christ entered my heart. in his wonderful deity, not his humanity. His humanity is seated at the right hand of God, resurrected. His deity is now able to bring us into a unique oneness. And so, when I received him as my Savior, you know, I can pray in my heart. If you ask anything, you remember that? John 14:13-14? If you ask anything in what? In my name, I'll do it. Anything. Well, God, why are you going to do it? Because you see, when you receive me, John 14:21-23, when you receive me, you receive my Father. I and my Father are one. So when you have me, you have him. When you have him, you're going to talk to him and pray to him. Ask anything of my Father in my name. In my name. And it'll work. It'll work. Because that's what I want, God. I want your name to be honored, God. It isn't hard. It isn't about me. It isn't about the government. It isn't about anyone else, you know. It's about God. Just like we did in Joshua, you know. 5:13, I didn't come to defend and support the Philistines. I didn't come to defend Israel. I came to take over as commander-in-chief of the Israeli army. I took over. And that's what I want to do. I want to take over. But what about family, friends, enemies, health, wealth? No, I came to take over. I came to be who I am. And you are to discover and allow me to be who I am. Say, well, I never thought about it. If you don't think so, why don't you go up and down and ask some people to explain that to you? And that's why we pray. We have we're throwing a prayer meeting. What did you create for us? Here we are. You create a marvelous scenario for us to enter in and allow you. That's why we're here. With all our different needs, all our different ignorance. We're ignorant, smart, stupid, all of it. We have a little bit of truth here, a little bit of truth there. We have all the different parts of our being. And God, you have to help us. You have to help us. And that's what God does. God has to help us. And we're looking for God. He knows everything about. We already done all these things. You probably forget them. We already studied them in detail. How to handle. When you come in here, what do you bring into the assembly? You bring in your heart and your whole world out there. You've been struggling through your world out there. And you bring it into this prayer meeting or to anywhere. And you bring it in. You bring it in. And God brings all the different people. We've got all these different things. Who's going to handle that? God does. God does bring us whoop to himself, and he equips your heart and mind. Your thanking and looking to God and trusting God overflows, and I benefit, you benefit, we all benefit each other, and it overflows to us, and out we go again, out we go to who knows what's out there, and maybe a $2 gas price. Who knows? And you're going to go out there, and God's going to do a work. You bring it back in again, and that's developing your muscles and your heart and your mind. And that's a purpose of the church. It isn't a religious club. It isn't that. And that's why if you're going to do it right, you're not going to be popular, I'll tell you right now. Because you have to become God-centered, Christ-centered. You have to look for God's will. God's going to do what he does for his own namesake. Well, what about me? What about my life? Nothing to do about your life. It has to do about his life. God gave you his life. And then you learn to understand you owe him. You owe him the breath, the eyes to see, taste, smell, be alive. I owe him. You say, wow. You got the idea? It's a wonderful thing. Ah, it is. Now, so don't forget, we're going to go to prayer. We're going to actually sing.